As we continue our Lenten journey, Jesus invites us to look at joy. Because as the writer of Hebrews reminds us, for the joy set before him, meaning Jesus, that our saving Lord endured the cross, scorning its shame. That word joy is very odd when it's juxtaposed with the cross. What does it mean for Jesus to be joyful? And we know that the words are not implying a giddiness, because we know that the crucifixion was horrific, intense pain, agony, and deep suffering. But at the same time, the writer of Hebrews intentionally uses the word joy there. Jesus does not just see this as a duty. This is not some obligation. What has come to dominate most of Protestant theology about the cross is that somehow there's some great debt, and out of obligation Jesus steps in, or even worse, that out of obligation the Son steps in and the Father pours out his wrath as if there's some sort of penalty that Jesus has to pay on our behalf. And the problem is that you can't transfer a penalty. Jesus is sinless and he is innocent, and because we are Trinitarian, believing in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus is also God, but somehow the Son is distinct from the Father, just as the Father and Son are distinct from the Spirit. So we have this mystery that we're invited into, and we are told that the in-flesh, the incarnate mystery in Jesus Christ, endured the cross because there was a joy in this job. Joy. What an odd word. But when I talk to Christians more and more, I find that they really struggle with the idea of joy. And in many ways, two ancient philosophies have reared their ugly heads once again. In the Greco-Roman world, you had Stoicism, which, think of the word Stoic, this idea that we need to push down the passions, push down the emotions, and somehow by pushing down these passions, we cultivate the virtues of the good life. And then we had the Epicureans, who said, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And I would say that both of them have an unhealthy relationship with the word joy. Because the running definition of joy for me as I see it in Scripture, and how I believe the writer of Hebrews wants us to understand it, is that joy is eschatological happiness. Eschatological, okay, fancy big theological word, meaning the idea of the end times. But it's a happiness that's tethered to where this world is going. That somehow the arc of the universe bends towards justice, and I would also say it bends towards joy. And so Jesus saw that eschatological hope in what he was doing and found great joy in doing this for humanity, for stepping in where humanity could not step in for herself. And so the Stoics, then and now, have an unhealthy relationship with joy because they have an unhealthy relationship with their cultivating their emotions, with allowing their emotions to submit to the Lordship of Christ and realizing that we were made as emotional creatures. We're not just brains on spines, but we feel things. And part of feeling things is what makes the world a more beautiful and complete place. But similarly, the Epicureans have an unhealthy relationship with joy because it's not tethered to anything. It's tethered with their own lifetime satisfaction. And the only problem is that when you have competing self-interests and competing untethered perceptions of the good, then you get anarchy and you get chaos. Welcome, my friends, to the Western world, where everything from identity to politics is all in the self. And it's a self that has become untethered. And so Jesus invites us to a joy, to an emotional life that is tethered to the future, to God's future, not my self-actualization, not my self-fulfillment, but myself in God, myself in Christ. And when you and I join this body called the church, we are connected with the head, which is Jesus Christ. We are part of his body. And so, unlike the modern theological worldview that says that somehow you and I need to be the hands and feet of Jesus to make the kingdom known, that's not how the biblical writers understood it. You and I were part of the body of Christ because Christ was the head and we abided in the body. And when we were the body, we couldn't do anything else but be faithful, be obedient to the head, which was Christ. Just like your arms and legs, if they begin to move counter to what your brain tells them to do, you and I would go, there's a deep dysfunction there. That's not a healthy body. It's abnormal. So this Lenten season, I invite you to look at joy. Look at the emotional life. You and I, from the beginning of this journey, have looked at humility. That's somehow not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less, helps us recognize that we are earth, we are dust. And so it brings us to an attitude of penitence, where we feel sorrow for the ways that we've wronged God, the ways that we have moved counter to what He desires, which pulled us into a posture of repentance, that we are called to turn around because we're called to live obediently to a standard that is foreign to the world. The world does not innately get the way of God. And so the way of the church is to help make that known, because we abide in the living Christ. And He moves through us by His Holy Spirit to model something different that's empowered by His Spirit, by His grace. And His grace is the fact that He is relationally with us. He's present with us. He's in the thickness of it. He's here. And because of His great grace, we have a deep and profound joy. That for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame. And the only parallel I have is that a woman will go through intense pain in childbirth, but she does so. She finds joy in it because she knows that on the other side she will have produced life. And that is what Jesus does. The cross, in many ways, is like a childbirth. Jesus on the cross is birthing a new world that you and I are invited into. It's painful. There's cries from the cross, and there's questions of, why did we do this? And you, those of you who've been there, you know it. But on the other side is life. Except this is not just immortal life that Jesus is bringing to us. This is eternal life. Eternal life that begins in the here and now. And because of that, Jesus endured the cross, because on the other side was a deep joy, an eschatological happiness that you and I, for all the chaos of the world, and pandemics and non-pandemics, and times of political triumph and times of political woe, that we know that our lives are tethered to an eschatological happiness, that the moral arc of the universe bends towards justice. But my friends, Scripture also shows that the moral arc of the universe, the emotional arc of the universe, bends towards joy. And in this Lenten season, you and I are invited to experience joy with the living Christ. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.